Father, bless these words to our heart and anoint our ears to hear. Give us a portion from your throne for our lives in Jesus' name. Today we're going to continue in the series about the believer's happiness. This is the seventh part in that series. Okay, turn with me please to Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 13, the Word of God says, "Happy is the man." Happy is the man. Blissful is the meaning. Blissful. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Blissful is the person who has wisdom and who gets understanding. What is wisdom? Wisdom is when I apply doctrine. That is wisdom. What is understanding? Understanding is when I know how to apply it and when to apply it. I know how to handle it. Wisdom I get from God. Understanding I also get from God, but in a different sort of a way. Wisdom comes through His Word. Understanding comes through experience. So as I have experience with the application of doctrine, I get understanding. Proverbs 3:18 says, "She," that is wisdom, "is a tree of life to them that laid hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her." She is a tree of life. And if I retain, if I keep her, if I keep the application of doctrine, if I keep doctrine being governmental in my life, is what it's really talking about. That's wisdom. And if I keep doctrine as governmental in my life, then I will be happy. That it will protect me. And I will be happy. She, wisdom, is a tree of life. How is wisdom a tree of life? Well, in Genesis 2:9, the Word of God says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." There were two trees in the garden, and God made a contrast between them. The tree of life and good and evil. The tree of life is the opposite of the tree of good and evil. In Ezekiel 31, Satan's tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God's tree is the tree of life. In Revelation 22, in the midst of the street of it, this is talking about the New Jerusalem, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There was a river in heaven, and on the banks of the river are the trees of life. It is the same tree, the same type of tree that God put into the garden. It is the same tree that wisdom brings in my life. It's a tree of life. In Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness, which is the fruit of wisdom, is a tree of life. In Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, and they will have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates of into the city." What are the commandments that lead to the tree of life? In John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another." A new commandment. That is the commandment that brings me to the tree of life. And you know what it does for me? It takes me to the place where I eat and live forever in Genesis 3:22, where I have eternal life. So wisdom brings me to eternal life in my practical experience. The government of doctrine produces eternal life in the soul, in the heart, in the life of the believer. The government of doctrine produces eternal life in the experience of the believer. In John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God." So in the government of doctrine, this is where I get to know God. For the Word of God is on the throne of my heart. I get to know Him. And that is its natural result. It's a tree of life. Today, the tree of life is not a popular thing. Today's Christianity rejects the tree of life. Today's Christianity embraces the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Today's Christianity says, walk by sight and do that which is right in your eyes and in the eyes of others. And don't do that which is wrong in your eyes and in the eyes of others. But make sure that you are evaluating all of your actions by the understanding that you have gained through the world system's influence on the church. Isn't this what it's like? Oh, don't have a cross in your life. Have a good dose of morality by sight instead. Be good people. Do your best. Get a job. Take care of your family. Pay your bills. And this is a good Christian life. You know what? That's also the good non-Christian life. What does that have to do with God? It has absolutely nothing to do. The world has the same thing. But yet this is supposed to somehow be spirituality in the Christian church today. Why? Because there is an utter void of wisdom. Wisdom is a tree of life, and this is what produces happiness in me. But how many Christians in their nice moral life, and thank God they are moral, but how many Christians in their moral life really have happiness? Or how many Christians in their moral life and their job and their paid bills and their nice kids, how many Christians are living a life that has no satisfaction, that has a desire that has not been satisfied, a longing that they cannot define and they cannot fulfill? How many Christians live in a place where they are not really happy, they're just getting along? Kind of waiting to die kind of a deal so they can go to heaven. How many Christians live for a promise that is tomorrow but not today? Because they have no tree of life in their heart. Because they lack wisdom. They don't know what wisdom is. They eat at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, walking by sight and evaluating what is right and what is wrong. But God doesn't evaluate that. That is at the tree of life you'll find something, and the tree of life you'll come to by the application of wisdom as you are living in the promises of God, the commandment that says, love one another as I have loved you. And that becomes your eternal life. That becomes the experience. How is it that in many churches across the country, people do not know the difference between position and experience? And they don't even know there is a difference between position and they don't even know you can experience the life of God now. No wisdom. And so they pursue small things and small lives because they are told in the pulpits to pursue those small things of sight. No wisdom. No wisdom. No, wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom is not something that you can evaluate by sight. You will never know a person's wisdom by looking at them. You will never know a person's wisdom by judging their lives. You see, in Matthew 11:19, the Word of God says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." A friend of publicans and sinners, and that's how they evaluated God. They say, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Look at that. good and evil. Good and evil. A sight evaluation and saying this is good and this is evil. And the Pharisees are very good at that. This is good and this is evil. This is my sight and it tells me through my human standards on a worldly plateau that this is good and this is evil. If he were a righteous man, he would not befriend them. He didn't sin with them. He just won them to himself. They didn't like it. They were eating at the tree of knowledge. God was eating at the tree of life. Different trees for different kingdoms. But then continuing, but wisdom is justified of her children. He didn't justify himself. He said wisdom is justified of her children. The fruit of wisdom are all the justification that wisdom needs. The fruit of a life will reveal what that life is about. Isn't that what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6? The fruit of a life is what that life is about. In Matthew chapter 7, it says the same thing. That the fruit of a life, the fruit of wisdom, the fruit of my decisions will identify whether my decisions were wise or unwise. What does it produce in my heart? What does it produce in my walk with God, in my life with Him? Does it win souls? Does it draw men unto God? Do I get to know Him in it? The fruit will produce the results that it produces because it is either wise or not wise. How many young people go down the road where they seek ungodly relationships, where they refuse to wait for God to bring somebody into their life that is specifically from Him. And the fruit of their life is lust and desire and discontent and rebellion and an unhappy life. Oh, that's beautiful fruit. Knock yourself out. You really get to know God there, don't you? As the other kingdom is bringing initiations to you. You know what? Why don't you send the other kingdom to hell, which is exactly where it's from anyway. Send it home. But how many people go there? You see them every day. You see them every day. It's not the tree of life. That's the tree that kills. The fruit shows what it's about. When you live in truth, you don't have to justify it. You simply let your fruit justify the truth that you live in. When you live in truth, you don't need to defend it. The fruit that you live in, the fruit that the truth produces in your life, is all the justification and defense that is necessary. There is no other defense to be had. Wisdom is justified of her children. People look at us believers. You guys, young people who are very godly, who have committed their lives to God, who know what it means to live in truth, who know what it means to be patient and wait for the things of God in your life, whether it be a relationship or a school or a job. Some of you guys are in Bible college. What a beautiful decision. And you know what it means to wait on God for the things of your life. And your lives are justified by the fruit that those decisions produce in your life. What does it produce? You are growing closer and closer to the Savior. Your life is a testimony to Him. People see you and they say, wow, look at God. Look at what God did. Look at how God took care of that person. Look at what God is in their life. Look at what they have. I wish I had that. Don't you dare think for a moment the world does not wish that they had what you have because they long for it. They simply will not admit it because they are trying to keep up a pretense. But in their hearts they wish they had purity. And they wish they had truth. And they wish they had purpose. And they wish they had meaning. And they wish they had fulfillment. And they wish they had all the things of God. They wish they had the joy of the Lord. You guys have that. And they look onto your lives and they say, look at that. These people have something I want, but I don't know what it is. They don't identify it because they don't know God. But they see that this is something that they want. And they say, I wish I could have that too. Godliness. By the way, ladies, nothing makes a woman as beautiful as godliness. The most beautiful women on the planet are the women who are extraordinarily godly. Why? Because God's beauty shines in them. What is the beauty of the flesh? It's just how do you puree up dust. But God's beauty in the heart of a woman makes her extraordinarily beautiful. Godliness, purity, righteousness, holiness, sanctification. These are your ornaments. Wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life, the place of everlasting life. And wisdom is justified by the fruit that it produces in your life. Wisdom comes by faith. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, it is not the wisdom of man, it is the power of God. Wisdom and faith are intimately related. I trust God's Word and it produces wisdom in me, and as God's Word produces wisdom in me, I trust God's Word. So wisdom comes by faith, and then faith comes by wisdom, but not the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Wisdom and faith are inseparable. Apart from faith, I will have no wisdom. Because apart from faith, I will use men's evaluations. Apart from faith, I will use natural reasoning. Apart from faith, I will long for the things of the world. Apart from faith, there is no wisdom. In John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is the life of wisdom. The wise man does not know, or the wise woman does not know, which way their life is leading. They do not often understand what they are supposed to do, what they know that is right before God, because the Holy Spirit has showed them so through His Word. They do not know why they do what they are supposed to do. But God has fruit that bears the fruit of wisdom. And as that fruit starts to manifest itself in their life, as they become godly, as they have the joy of the Lord in their life, as they have a peace that passes understanding, they realize that even though they had no sight to work with, the fruit of God was the justification of their wisdom. This is how people can wait on God for things like relationships or jobs or whatever. Because the fruit of that wisdom is something that encourages them in their life. And it shows them, yes, it is real. It is real. God is alive and He's on the throne in my heart and He is doing something for me. And although I cannot discern where I am going, although I cannot discern what exactly the Holy Spirit is leading me into sometimes, or perhaps why, I do not know how it will end. I simply know that there is a fruit of wisdom in my life. And that fruit is what commends me to that wisdom that I have been living in. And so I pursue. And so I have a life of faith. Do you understand why the Word of God says without faith it's not possible to please Him? Because without faith there is no fruit. Because there is no wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? The world will look at our lives and say, you're crazy. How many young people are told, hey, you're crazy for staying pure? You're crazy for staying pure. You're crazy for not dating. You're crazy for not pursuing a guy or a girl. You're crazy. And then they say something disgusting like, you want to be a virgin forever? Fool. Isn't that what they say? You want to be a virgin forever? Hey, you're a man. If you get a girl pregnant, yeah, some man you are. Some man you are. You don't know what it means to be a man. You don't know what it means to be a lady if you think that way. You don't know who you even are. You don't know what you are designed for. You don't know what happiness is. You don't know what fulfillment is. And you don't know the first thing about wisdom. God calls you a fool. Read Proverbs. You say, hey, you want to have life forever? Yeah. That's what they're really saying, but they're saying it in mocking because they desire for you to go to hell right along with them. You want to have life forever? Yeah. No, I'll be a virgin just so long as God gives me a spouse that came from Him. That's good enough for me. Why? Because that's God's way. And when I do it God's way, that's where real fulfillment is. Why do you think it is that 80% of all married couples who are incompatible sexually in marriage have had premarital sexual relationships? 80% of them. That's a study done by Masters and Johnson. Why do you think that is? Because they applied no wisdom. They went after lust. They went into the little tantalizations that led them down an extraordinarily destructive path that lasted the rest of their life. Why do you think that is? Right? So you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You pay later, you pay with interest. No. Wisdom says be pure. Wisdom says be godly. Wisdom says live in righteousness. Wisdom says don't lust. Don't pursue ungodly things. Wisdom says, have a life from God, and it's a life worth living. That's what wisdom takes you into. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. It's not just a little bit dumb. It's utter foolishness. And the one who evaluates it as being foolish is God. So it is not just foolishness. It is utter and complete and completely valueless foolishness according to the one who has all the authority in the universe to say so. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. Get this. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Okay, you ready? Here is wisdom. Let him that hath an understanding count the number of the beast. Huh? Isn't that like for a later time? Listen. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Well, is that wisdom? The man who has understanding will discern the spirit that another man is of. That's wisdom. A lot of people today have no wisdom and no understanding, and by the way, they come together. And so, you have the Laodicean age. And so you have young girls in churches getting pregnant, who've been brought up in churches all their life, and people are left scratching their heads saying, how did this happen? I'll tell you how it happened. She was raised in a life, and so is the fellow that got her that way. She was raised in a life that was completely void of wisdom, but they went after a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Be good, dear. Why? Just be good. Isn't that how it works in those churches? Be good. Why? Be good. Believe in God. Why? Just believe it. No wisdom. No practical application of doctrine. Trust what you don't know. Follow the one who you don't understand, who you don't know who he is, who you don't know. Why should I do that? Lack of wisdom. And here comes the Laodicean age. And they think they're doing pretty good because they've got a Bible in front of them in the pew and a songbook. And you know what? It doesn't amount to a hill of beans because they have no Bible in their heart. They just have it in the pew in front of them. They have it on their kitchen table or on their nightstand, and they may even look at it once in a while. But is it alive in their hearts? Or is there something else alive in their hearts? Desire for the world and the worldly things. Oh, you see, it's very simple. Wisdom is justified of her children, and the lack of wisdom produces fruit also. And that fruit reveals what is going on as well. Show me someone who constantly lives in desire, and I'll show you someone who's void of the Word of God in their heart. Why? Because the Word of God produces satisfaction and fulfillment, not desire. Not for the world. Only desire I get from the Word of God is a desire for God. A desire for truth, for purity, for life, for holiness, for the love of God, for His mercy and His kindness, and for His tenderness and gentleness toward me. That's the product of wisdom. Our wisdom shows me how to discern. See someone with no discernment at all? See someone who looks at something or someone ungodly and has no clue that they are that way? You ever see anyone like that? Sure you have. I think teenagers are perceptible to that simply because the time that they have had and the culture that they're in to not apply wisdom. But older people too. That certainly is not saying that older people do not go there. They most certainly do. You show me somebody who has that, I'll show you somebody who doesn't have the Word of God in their heart, who doesn't discern because they have no Word. They have no faith in that Word. And so they don't believe it. Oh, they say they'll believe it, but when the rubber meets the road, they don't believe beans. When Prince Charming comes along, out goes things like conviction, and maybe if it doesn't go all the way out right away, it goes out in little slivers. You know, you cut enough little slivers, you lose the whole thing. Isn't that how it works? It's no wisdom. You see, that's the thing, there's no wisdom. Wisdom shows you what things are about. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Holy Spirit in James 1:5. And then in verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. There is a wisdom from below. It is earthly. It is the things on the horizontal plateau. It is the things of the world. It is sensual. The things of emotions and lust. The things of how it makes you feel. Who cares how it makes your flesh feel? God didn't worry about how your flesh felt when He crucified it. Don't worry about what your flesh feels. You know why? Because happy is the man who has wisdom. Of course your flesh isn't going to like being crucified. Why are you so surprised by that? But happy is the one who has wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, first pure, then peaceable, gentle. It has purity, it has peace in its heart, it is gentle, it's easy to be entreated, easily taught, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or hypocrisy, without respect of persons. Without saying, I like this one, even though God doesn't want me to have that. That's partiality. Look it up. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace that make peace. And in Job 12:12, with the ancient is wisdom, and the length of days understanding. The ancient, the Word of God, the one that was in the beginning. That's where wisdom is found. So in Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto... Incline your ear. Why? How do you get... Incline your ear. Listen. Listen to wisdom. Listen. This is where you find it. Listen to wisdom. In Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And in Proverbs 4:11, I have taught thee the way of wisdom. I have taught thee the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. This is why I do things like go to church. This is why I listen to anointed preaching. This is why I download messages or put in a disc from whoever my pastor happens to be and listen over and over and over. Why? Because it produces wisdom in my life. And it makes me happy when I have it. It changes me from a sorrowful countenance to a joyful one. It's my wisdom. That teaching that I receive from the Word of God is my wisdom. Do you get it? This is why so many people out there may have a conviction, but they have a hard time living in it. It's a heavy conviction to them because they lack wisdom. They lack that Word of God. They're familiar with it. They don't see its value. To them, it's drudgery to listen to life. Because they still think that there's a portion for them found in death that'll somehow satisfy, but it cannot and it will not and it will not. Do you get it? It will not satisfy. My son, Proverbs 3:21, let not them, that's the Word of God, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Hold them, store them, keep them in your heart. Don't let them depart from your perception. Think with the Word. How are you going to think with the Word if you're not in the Word? How's the mind of Christ going to transform your mind if you're not receiving the mind of Christ? That's wisdom when I have a transformed mind. Wisdom is the principal thing in Proverbs 4:7. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding also. Get wisdom and its experience. That's why Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy them and sell it not. How many people sell instruction because they think instruction is not exciting for them? Pastor Stevens once said something, it really nailed a lot of people. He said, you're bored with the Word of God because you're boring. I think that was an interesting statement. You're bored with the Word of God because you're boring. What does that mean? Your life in the flesh is actually a boring life, and because you're living a boring life in the flesh, you're bored with the Word. But wisdom brings happiness to the person who possesses it. It's not boring. It's life. Why do you get wisdom? I mean, what's the point anyway, right? In Proverbs 19:8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. And he that keepeth understanding shall find good. That's why. You see someone who refuses wisdom, I'll show you someone who hates his own soul. You see someone who loves wisdom, who loves the Word of God, who loves doctrine, I'll show you someone who loves his own soul. It's that simple. People sitting in churches everywhere hate their own soul. Sunday morning churchianity, right? They hate their own soul. That the one who loves wisdom loves his soul. And then finally in closing, Isaiah 33, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of their times. Stability in your life comes through wisdom and knowledge. You know how people get into these mood swings? Because they lack wisdom. Because they lack instruction. But when you have instruction that produces wisdom, you have stability. You have stability in your life. How many people actually like mood swings? You have stability in your life when there is wisdom there and knowledge through instruction. That produces a stable person with stable emotions and stable mind, stable life, because they have the right thoughts. And then finally in Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is the house built, and by understanding it is established. Through wisdom is my life built. Like, you know, what do you want? I don't care how old you are. What do you want? Do you want a built house? Or do you want one that's crumbling down? Do you want a life that is always in turmoil? Do you want a life that is never quite happy or content? Do you want a life of confusion where you're never sure one way or the other way? Then keep going without instruction and knowledge that produces wisdom, and you will have just that. But do you want a life where your clarity is in your mind, where something comes and you instantly know what is the right decision because the Spirit is alive in you? Do you want a life where there is stability and respectability, where there is something solid to stand on? Do you want a life where things are peaceful and your mind knows what it is thinking? Because it is thinking with God. If you would like that, then simply get the instruction that produces the knowledge that gives you the wisdom. It's that simple. It comes from a place. It comes from God's Word as I receive it. And then I mix faith with what I hear and it profits me. That's wisdom. And it makes me happy. It stabilizes my emotions and I have joy. And I have happiness as a believer. I don't buy into this thing where Christians say, oh, happiness as a believer, you shouldn't even think about your happiness. Baloney! Why don't you start thinking with the Word of God instead of some ascetic, legalistic, twisted little works trip? Of course God wants you to be happy. But He wants you to be happy in the only way that will produce that happiness in you. Cross, Word of God, Holy Spirit, right decisions. Getting built up in truth. And you can be in the worst of all circumstances imaginable and you can still be happy. Why do you think Richard Warmbrand sang in prison? I remember he was in his book, he was in solitary confinement, torture, and he starts to dance before God because he had the wisdom to know that God was there with him. You think he enjoyed his prison? No, but it didn't make him miserable either. Oh, the torture was miserable, but in his heart he had happiness. His outward circumstances may have been painful, but his heart had a contentment and a peace and a knowledge of something that they could not understand. How is it that he was happy? He had wisdom. Yeah.